And now we follow with Billy Hayes, the local Alive General Secretary of the Communication Workers Union. Welcome, Billy.
Thanks, Alex, and thanks for the opportunity once again to speak in Liverpool. It's very good, great to be able to come back here. I was very pleased, and I'd like to congratulate the James Larkin Band. I thought they were fantastic. And it's well to remember that James Larkin was a Liverpool lad who took part, from the Dingle, who took part in the struggle for trade unionists in Ireland, but also the struggle for Ireland. And you know, there was a programme on the telly a week or so ago called The World in One City. It was about a dig that's taking place, and it was talking about Liverpool's history and its history of internationalism. And that's what this struggle is about here today. And as I say that, I look up at a monument to Queen Victoria, whose government done so much to oppress the peoples of the world. And so it's important that in celebrating today, we celebrate the workers, and despite all the talk of globalization, there is pressure that left it by people empowered to draw connection to our lives. So when May Day is workers throughout the world demonstrate their connections as a pointer to a better future and many things that we have in common. But we look around and we look at people like, remember people like Queen Victoria. And when we remember that, we say, as been said today, the impact of the British and the Americans in places like Iraq and their plans, still muted, about an invasion of Iran. And we need to make sure that despite the failure to prevent an invasion of Iraq, that we make sure that we prevent an invasion of Iran, because that's what the people in power are still about. But also today we celebrate in this great city, a world in one city, and we celebrate diversity. And we celebrate the diversity of our movement with all the banners that were on the march here today. And we have to recognise that groups like the BNP, who are standing, have got a leaflet in my dad's house, the disgusting spectacle of fascist contesting local elections and whipping up the whole question of Islamophobia, and our elected politicians don't do so little to counter that rise, do so little and pander to the racism that's promoted by people like the BNP. But in doing that, we also are looking at the problems that we face in this country. We have to look at the movements in Latin America and see the emergence of people like Chavez and others who are maintaining the struggle for socialism and internationalism. So I would say to particularly the young people here today, you need to look at organisations like the Cuba Solidarity Campaign, like the Stop the War movement, like the Venezuela Information and the Venezuela Solidarity Campaign. Because it's in those countries that we remember that struggle continues. In this country, we've got a very right-wing Labour government, probably the most right-wing government we've seen in Labour movement terms. A government that can talk about abolishing the 10p tax rate, yet still talk about spending $75 billion on a new generation of nuclear power. So we need to campaign against such initiatives as that. And that's what our day of today is all about. It's about solidarity, it's about internationalism, but it's also about memory. It's also remembering. It's a great privilege to speak on the Merseyside May Day rally. And I can remember those big rallies of the 1970s and those big events of the 1980s. A march in this city where 100,000 people marched against the impact of that first term Labour government. And we have to recognise that we're bruised and we're battered. But in being bruised and battered and we also have to recognise, yes, we have our problems in this country. But internationally, we see struggle in South America and around the world. And if May Day is about anything, it's about internationalism. But recognising also, it's not just about the struggle in the workplace. It's about the struggle for socialism internationally. It's about the recognition that May Day started when they're in Chicago, when those workers in the States refused to be treated like chattel and treated, and that's what internationalism is all about. So, Queen Victoria, the statue of Queen Victoria, it might have been a long time ago when your government plundered three quarters of the world. And coming from the podium, one little final thing. As I go round the world as a general secretary, the one thing that strikes me is this. Everywhere you go, there's a red pillar box. It's green in Ireland, in O'Connell Street. It's red still in Egypt, and it's red in Palestine and Israel. And the thing that strikes me the most, that's almost a symbolism of how this country plundered the world. And at the same time that the world was being plundered with the British Empire, a labour movement was emerging. Yes, we're 6.5 million today, but there's a new generation of activists coming forward, and we need to give succour to that new generation of activists and say, when we want to change things, our agenda is this. We want to change the world. Another world is possible. Thank you for listening to me.
I think the only thing Billy said wrong, he should have said, off with her head. Let's chop Queen Victoria's head off. But it's actually a brilliant opening for our next speaker. Our next speaker is Faithless Nylam. Maureen, originally from Nigeria, is in Liverpool, desperate for your help. Let's welcome her here on International Labour Day.
Everybody, I'm very glad to meet everybody, each and every one of you here today, and I'm so glad to hear that there's something like solidarity in the United Kingdom. I came into the United Kingdom about 4 years ago. I fled into this country because I was facing danger with my little daughter. But when I came into this country, since all this while I've been living peacefully in the country, not until the person that brought me into this country just left me, abandoned me without nothing. So I didn't have any option to go to the Home Office. But right now I'm trying to let each and every one of you to know what I'm facing with the Home Office. Actually, I'm a Nigerian. I'm facing racial problems. I'm a graduate. I've graduated in Nigeria as with a degree in business management, and I had a diploma in banking and finance. If I hadn't had a very big problem, I don't think that there's anything that can bring me into this country and to be an asylum seeker today. So it's good for me to, I'm very pleased and glad to see that there's so many people that believe in solidarity and human rights. So what I'm trying to talk about today is just for you people to know what I'm facing with the Home Office today about my having the stay, live to remain in this country. After staying 4 to 5 years in this country, and they still want me to go. Okay, for example, what happened to me, because I've been facing a lot of problems, having psychiatric problems, been into psychiatric hospital several times because of the stress and the problem I'm facing. I happen to have a very good friend of mine. She tells me she's a Nigerian like me. About 3 weeks ago, I was staying with her, and about 10 police officers came very early in the morning when I dressed my babies off to go to school. They just knocked on the door without letting anybody know, because my friend has got a lawyer. He's got a solicitor. They just came in like that with it. You know, all the kids were like, Marcus, they said, what's going on? They're coming to, they just kidnapped her, just took her away. She said, but I've not heard anything from the solicitor. They said, no, you must go with us. You must go with us. They told the solicitor that they shouldn't let anybody know that the case is finished, that they have to take you from that place to the detention camp. With a little baby of 7 months, not to talk about what is going to happen to me today. And up to today, I'm still being tormented, humiliated, and being threatened about deportation. The first thing the Home Office told me the first time, they said, well, Maureen, you are a graduate in your country. We don't want to know. We don't want to bother about your life being in danger, whether your parents or your family being killed, but you just have to go back to your country. You are a graduate, but you can manage with 3 kids. I don't see the human rights in that after staying 5 years in the country. You know? So So what I'm trying to, like all of you people here, to know that I still believe in solidarity, I believe in human rights. I want people like you to support me because any moment from now, because the Home Office, they've written me that my case is finished, everything is finished. They can kidnap me to anywhere, to an unknown place which I don't even know, with these three kids. Okay, I came into this country with a little girl of 1 year. Now I've got three, and she is now 5 and 6 years. So where am I going to? Even my kids don't even hear my language. They don't hear my language as a Nigerian language. When I speak my language, they laugh at me because they don't even know where they're going to. You're sending me to a country where my life is in danger. Where are they going to? There's no grandmom, there's no grandfather, there's no family. So that means definitely there's nothing like human rights, because I feel that in United Kingdom that they bone up the human rights, the people that even fund the human rights, but the human rights, I'm not seeing it in UK. But to be sincere and to be candid, the people of UK, they'd be very helpful to me. And I thank God for the people of the UK, the British people are meeting, they've been giving me reassurance, giving me the confidence to come out here to talk. But I still don't believe why the Home Office, they still want to take me back home. When they know that I'm not even going to be a liability for them in this UK. And they said they don't want anybody to be a liability, but I don't think I'm going to be a liability, because if I've got the motive of coming to UK to remain, to live and to remain, I don't think I will spend 6 good years or 7 good years in the university, going to the university education, because I know after that I'm going to get a good job and take care of my family. But now in Nigeria, because of the racial and traditional problem, my family is killed, my only brother is killed, and I have fled into this country, telling them, but still I am a liar. So I still have, what I want you people to do for me is just that you should help me, because any moment from now they can kidnap me and these kids, I don't have anywhere to go to, I might even end up dying off. So I still believe in solidarity and the human rights. Thank you very much.
Can we all agree to pledge full support to Maureen and make sure her and her children are not left out of this country? Is that agreed? Yeah. It's a horrendous story. Let's welcome back for the first time ever to speak with Merseyside May Day Committee, Jill Loftus from Birkenhead and now the President of the Communication Workers Union.
Actually born in Liverpool, I've been living in Birkenhead for about 10 years, and it's obviously a privilege, but today I was at the London May Day rally addressing there, and then I've come up to Liverpool as well, and hundreds across the country have been marching and celebrating International Workers' Day. We look at the world around us, and even though it seems vast, it's actually smaller, and everything that is global impinges on our life, whether that be work, whether that be politics, whether that is just about being able to get decent jobs around the world, it affects you, and the world has become smaller. So we've got international solidarity, we've got workers' rights to fight for, human rights, we've also got civil liberties to defend. And on the other side, what are we offered? We're offered that billions can be spent on war, billions can be spent on Northern Rock, billions can be spent on bailing out the bankers who've actually crashed the system. And what are we offered as workers? We're told we cause inflation, we can't have above 2%, and we can't have our pensions that we've fought for all our lives. When a government, in particular Labour government, is not reflecting where the working class is, you have a vacuum. And there's two ways of filling that vacuum. Either the trade union leaders and the union start having that fight and standing up for workers' rights, defending pay, defending pension, fighting racism in the workplace and in society in general, or you allow the BNP to get in. This is May the 1st, we're voting today, we don't want BNP here, and we certainly don't want them in Liverpool or anywhere else around the country. Workers, both public and private sector, are suffering. And they're suffering quick with the credit crunch. It's not a credit crunch, it's an economic crisis based on failed policies. And it's come back to bite everyone on the bum. And we have to decide, what are we going to do? And across the country, last week we were here with the teachers and they were down in London and across the country demonstrating. We have the teachers, the lecturers and the civil servants out. As postal workers, we were on strike last year for over 3 months where we fought to get a decent pay rise. We will now be going into another campaign to fight to defend our pensions. And that is what trade unionism is. That is what internationalism is, as in defending what you've got here and acknowledging what is going on globally and supporting organisations, other trade unions, other groupings across this world with the same aims and ambitions. We've seen across the country Love Music Hate Racism and other Rock Against Racism concerts which are bringing the young together. And when you see for the first time people who've never been in dispute, never been in a campaign, never been on a march, out on the streets, that's the next generation. That's the generation that we need to speak to, that we need to give our traditions. I was started work in 82 and have always been involved in industrial action. But if you didn't go into your workplace to the 90s, you don't know what industrial action can achieve. You don't know the solidarity of being together out on the picket line. You don't know how racism gets combated by people sticking together in unions. And that is what we're here to do. That's what we're here to celebrate. But the message today, because it's a polling day, has to be use your vote and don't vote BNP. Let's bash the BNP. Let's deliver international solidarity. Let's unite. United we can win. Thanks very much.
And if there isn't anybody who hasn't voted yet, please make sure you do. I'm not telling you who to vote for, but just like Jane, make sure the fascists are not elected. The last speaker is the new president of the Northwest TUC, the youngest person ever to be elected, and the first ever to supporter ever to be president of the Northwest TUC. Please welcome Steve Farley.
Cheers, Alex. Good evening, comrades, and thank you for that warm welcome. Alec had said to me that I had to speak last to try and pull things together, so he didn't tell me what to say. He just said, don't mention Chelsea for whatever reason, so I won't. But I do wish Florentina all the best for this evening as well in international solidarity. I think just a couple of things, because you've listened to the major speakers. I'm here really to say on behalf of the Northwest TUC, you know, fraternal greetings from the council and from the trade unions within the Northwest, both to workers who are here, to trade unions who are here, to working people and students who are here, and to wish you well and to offer you our support. And there are a number of initiatives we're trying to take to get the message of trade unionism across to young people in particular, but also to attack those people who would divide us, and whether that be the BNP, or whether that be the employer, or whether that be the government, then we're here to defend the interests of ordinary working people, and that's what the Northwest TUC should be about, and in my view, is about. When we were led today by the James Larkin Band, and some of you will have read the history, I didn't know he was from Dingle, I knew he was from Liverpool. I'm a Liverpool lad from Dingle myself as well, so something I've got in common with James Larkin. I share my birthday with James Connolly, but not the same year. So there is sort of some connection there, I suppose. But what James Larkin reminds us of is that the struggle is continuous. The struggle will always be going on. We will never, ever be able to rest until we fundamentally change this society. And people like James Larkin stand out as bastions of working class leaders who stood up, who rallied working class people, and who got them to believe in themselves. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to convince working people that they should be confident. They should have confidence in their own ability to deliver. They should have confidence in coming together. And as Jane said, it's about collectivity. It's about grouping together. And if we do get together and we do stay together, then certainly we can achieve a lot. And I do remember the days of the late 70s, 80s, the 1979 march against the Tory government, which was massive in Liverpool. They were still leaving Stepton Park, if told you were there, as they were getting to the pierhead. And I remember the 80s. And the big demonstrations that we had just across the way there in the town hall when this city was castigated by the Labour leadership to its eternal shame. and when we had great leaders there taking a chance on pushing forward socialism in the city, and we've erased and chucked from office for that. And I'm pleased to say that we've still got one of those comrades here. I'm not going to point him out, but Tony Mulhern will stick in my mind as one of those great leaders of Liverpool City who stood up for this city, and he paid the price for this city for what he stood up for, and he should be applauded, should be congratulated. It is about solidarity, it is about internationalism, it is about the working class coming together. It's about all those things that make us whole as a society. And as long as we continue to believe that, as long as we continue to support those ideas and initiatives, and as long as we continue to support individuals like Maureen, but also the concept that people should be allowed to escape from countries where they're going to be persecuted. At this stage, this country does not have what we have in Colombia, the most dangerous country in the world for trade unionists. It does not have what it has in Nigeria, where depending on where you come from, you could actually find yourself killed. Depending on what attitude you take towards the government, you could end up killed. But what we do have is attacks on our society and on our trade union rights. But nowhere in the world is safe for trade unions. And what we should remember, that the advances that we've made from the days of Jim Larkin, right through the struggles in the 30s and the struggles in the 60s, the struggles this city went through in the 80s, were won because working class people stood together and because we would not be put down. And if that's the message that we need to get across to people today, that's the message for May Day. It's about international solidarity, it's about workers' solidarity, and it's about changing the society we live in, and we should never, ever forget that. Thank you.
OK, there's going to be a band on in a minute, but I just want Dennis Duffy to come up and give an announcement about an initiative that Liverpool TUC. Please welcome Dennis.
OK, thank you, Alex. Fraternal greetings from Liverpool Trade Union Council on this May Day, International Workers' Day. Yeah, Liverpool Trade Union Council, you know, we haven't gone away, you know. So certainly we salute and support workers everywhere in struggle, whatever that is, throughout the world. But we also recognise that modern trade unionism has to be an international organisation, and it has to be by sheer necessity if we have to oppose or even compete with global multinational companies. We would have seen the latest example of this ruthless exploitation of workers that has taken place in Grangemouth in Scotland at the moment, where the oil refinery workers are just being had to force out on strike only because their pension was being robbed by a multinational company who's literally making billions of pounds. That cannot be right. But you know, in supporting workers in struggle, we also call for the repeal of the draconian anti-trade union legislation that exists in this country. Workers can never be free for as long as these laws remain. They are undemocratic, they are unjust, they are evil. We and Liverpool Trades Council will continue to work for the repeal of this bad legislation. So, on International Labour Day, we think of workers everywhere, but we also think of migrant workers in this country. Very often, these migrant workers are victims of exploitation and racism. The trade union movement has a lot to be proud of in this respect, but we also recognise there is still a lot to be done. There's still a lot to be achieved in our unions. So, on International Labour Day, can I draw your attention, please, to a very important meeting that has taken place in Liverpool at the CASA at 7:30 on Tuesday the 13th of May. That's 7:30 at the CASA, Tuesday the 13th of May. The theme of that meeting will be asylum seekers, refugees and migrant workers and the fight against racism. And this has been organised by Liverpool Trade Union Council. Liverpool Trades Council will continue to stand up for workers everywhere and for as long as the traitors plot and the cynics sneer, the red flag will continue to fly here. Thank you.
Okay, comrades, so let's hope the next time we meet, all of the public sector unions are marching together for a fair deal. Comrades, tomorrow we will win. Thank you.